But let me tell you, when I first got there, I come to a meeting. I encourage you this way. I never come to a meeting without expecting something to happen to me. I never come into a restaurant and just say, well, I hope the food is good. I go into places and say, God, I'm expecting you to bless me. I don't care if it's a lousy restaurant. I don't care if it's great. I don't care if a meeting is about business or if it's about the Lord. I tell you, when I'm right on target, my heart is always, God, I want to encounter with you in everything I do. The Lord told me years ago, he said, you've got a problem. I said, what is it? He said, do you expect too much out of people? Have you ever expected something out of somebody and got disappointed? Every moment of the day, amen? And the Lord spoke to me, he says, you need to expect a lot less out of people, a lot more out of me. Man, I start living that way. I start just saying, God, I expect you to meet me where in every bad restaurant, in every bad situation, in everything that's going on, I expect you to meet me. But I'm not expecting much out of people. It's a lot better life. Hallelujah. It's such a fun life. And so I get there at those meetings, and I never come to church here without God saying, God, don't meet me here. I pray you do the same thing. You don't want to be dependent on me. You don't want to be dependent on your family. You don't want to be dependent on anybody but Jesus. He can meet you and satisfy you no matter what your family situation is, no matter what your finances are, no matter any of that. He can meet you, and you can have a wonderful time with him. Or you can be like everybody else and just be bumped around by the good and bad things that happen. And I got there and I said, you know, there's a lot going on. We're trying to communicate with the architects and all that. And I had a lot on my mind and I'm trying to clear that out and just partake and just listen and not do anything, just sit and soak in the word. And I said, Lord, what do I focus on? And he said, you need to let me love you this week. Boy, you keep saying that kind of stuff, God. It's just difficult. Just to sometimes just let God hold you and love you like a little kid. And so what I did was use my imagination, and I went back, and I have a picture. We don't have a lot of pictures of us growing up as kids. But there's a picture that I got from my parents, and I was about 8 years old, and that's about the time I got saved. And I'm sitting on my bed. I think I just had a surgery a few months before that that tortured me and terrified me. And I'm a bald-headed little kid. We didn't grow our hair out at all. Blonde. And anyway, it's a cute little picture of a little boy sitting on the edge of his bed, just innocent as all get out. And I look at it and look at it like it's somebody else. And I just say, that little boy is innocent. And he's hurting. And he needs love. And I use my imagination when I can see that picture. I'm looking at you right now, but I'm seeing that little boy in that picture. And it takes me back to a place of saying, without all the crap of all the stuff I did wrong after that, without all this flesh that I had to deal with and all the hurts and the pains of everybody else, that, you know, I go back to that, and it was just the days of innocence before the Father. And I start there and say, love me, God. Love that little boy. That's me. Love me. And I have to get in a position, I hope you understand, of looking at myself, presenting to myself me innocent and not with all the baggage of how the rest of how I look at myself, all my failures and all my insecurities and all my other things. And then I go so often, then my imagination takes me out on a place we called the Gilmore Place, just some grassland. And many times after, in between sets of irrigation, riding our motorcycles, we all kind of have a fond place with the Gilmore Place. It's kind of dear in our family's heart. Little dam there, tall grass. And I can go back, and I'm all of a sudden laying in that grass just so the sunshine's coming down on me, and I'm just sitting there saying, oh, God, I want to know you. And I go there because it was in my heart to know him. And that's a real warm, comforting place for me. And then my imagination just goes from there. And when God said, you know, let me love you, that's what I do. I use my imagination. I go back to a place where it opens up my heart, gets rid of all the junk I'm carrying, all the cares that I have right now, and just go back. And those are, man, those are innocent days. And those were days of a lot less stress. A lot less stress. No responsibilities, everything, you know. And then my mind usually goes to when I did get on fire for the Lord and got to college and I studied and I fasted and prayed for, you know, and then, man, I got on fire. Came back to the farm and I'd get in our dad, thank God, dad liked green. And he bought John Deere's with the sound guard cabs and, man, they were nice. And I'd get in there and start plowing on the 100 acres up there in the north we call the dry land, and it was just a long day of just plowing. And I'd start listening to tapes. Preachers, and then I would get, then I'd shut that off, and then I'd just, then I'd get to preaching. I'd literally just start preaching in that tractor cab. I'd just start declaring the truth, quoting scriptures, and I'd be preaching. Had no idea I was ever going to be a pastor. I'd start preaching, and then I'd be in that cab, you know, just plowing away. My lines weren't very straight. My brother's lines were a lot straighter than mine. I'd get distracted. But man, I'd get so wound up that I just burst in with energy and praising God, and I'd open that cab door and jump out, and I would start dancing. I've always told people, if you wonder why I dance so weird, it's because I learned on a plowed field. If you ever try to dance on a plowed field, you got to be, it's really awkward. Your legs go everywhere, you know. They fall in the hole, they bounce on the top, fall down. And I said all that to say, when I go off dancing, it didn't come from being in bars. It came from being in a plowed field as a boy being so excited about Jesus. Now, others may see it as something else, but that's what it is. You and I get to dance before our Father, and He giggles. You ever have your daddy giggle at you, laugh at you, be thrilled with you when you're doing funny things? Chase used to pull his little shorts up over his head and tuck his head down. Well, I mean, I don't know what he did, but he'd look so weird and walk around with his head in his shorts. And we just laugh our heads off. That's your Father. It's not all about just build, you know, building the church and doing all and getting everything right. Man, your Heavenly Father just enjoys you. I want to read to you out of 2 Peter. Andrew did mention, you know, about remembrance, and I'm going to read a little something here. 2 Peter, first chapter. It said, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is a power. It's a substance. It's like drug. You take some drugs, man, you can just become Superman. Man, you take grace, you become a Superman. It is powerful, and it empowers you. I won't teach a lot on grace today, but, man, grace is a phenomenal thing. It's so different than what most people think. Most people think it's just the mercy of God forgiving us. No, grace is a little, grace is the goodness and the glory of God, His attributes, His nature, His power coming inside of us and becoming ours. And it says, and the peace of God, one of the pastors there, Dwayne Sheriff, he died a few years ago. He had a heart attack. He was on the operating table, and the doctor said, we lost you several times. He said, I know. He was in the presence of the Lord. And he said, you cannot believe the peace that you feel. The peace that you feel here is awesome, but when you get in His presence, it's unbelievable. So there's a lot of room for us to grow in peace. But, you know, grace and peace comes to you. It grows and it multiplies by the knowledge of God. That's why we're preaching the Word all the time. It's not just knowing the Word of God. It's knowing the one the Word of God's talking about. The Bible says in John, it says, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But it's these that speak of me, but you won't come to me. And so Jesus is telling them, He says, you guys, you Jews, you know all the Scriptures, so you can quote them, you can do all that, you can teach them, but you don't come to me. I am the real deal. The Scriptures aren't our salvation. The Word of God written is not our salvation. It describes Him and tells us so that we can come to Jesus and enter into His rest. But it comes through knowledge. That's why we keep renewing our mind and doing that. It goes on down. There's so much good stuff there, but I'm going to go on down. We'll pick up here in verse 13. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. Stir you up by way of reminder, Peter says. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is intimate, as the Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Peter knew he was about to go home. And he said, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. There's some other scriptures, but but Andrew ministered, and I love it. It's the truth. You can stir yourself up and in your mind and your heart by remembering what God did. David did that when he went up against Goliath. He says, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, you're nothing. He remembered what God had been with him on doing. Andrew had a lot of miracles happen in his life, you know, and one of his friends, Joe, I mentioned that we knew Joe was older, and Joe ended up really, I mean, having a miraculous life. And they're in their room one day in this, at his house, and the sliding door was open. And they're just talking about Pentecost and talking about how when the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, and all of a sudden they just heard they sound like a train coming, just they heard it. And all of a sudden the curtains are just going sideways in that room. Just, and he said, we had a candle right there and it didn't even blow it out. And God was just demonstrating to them a little bit about the power of his presence. And it just, I mean, it really rattled them, you know. And then they decided they were going to have a tent meeting in Arlington, Texas. And they rented this 600-seat tent. And they were just young and stupid. And, they said, they rented the tent and found a spot, you know, to put it there. And then they go, well, we need some electricity. What do they call them things? Electrical pole. And they said, well, I don't know where we get that. I don't have any clue. And they said, well, let's go to the donut shop. They walked in the donut shop. Somebody came in and was just talking to them. And anyway, something came up. He says, you guys got that tent out there? He says, yeah. He says, do you have electrical pole? He says, no, we don't. He says, I got one. I'll give it to you. Anyway, so they've got it all ready to go. They're praying. And all of a sudden, this bad storm comes in. It's shutting down everything. And so it's just pouring rain. And he said, you went out on that property and you sunk, your ankles went into the mud. And everything. And it's like that's the morning of the tent meeting. And they go, what are we going to do? Man, we did all this and God did so many things to bless us to do this. And now we can't do it. And they just decided to go back home and pray. They had a friend that was involved in it with them, and he was a pilot, and he was flying in. Anyway, they went to the tent side, and all of a sudden it was dry. He said, you could pick up dirt, and it was just blowing in the wind. Sun was out. People had to park in the grass, and everybody came, and they said, awesome meeting. But the pilot was flying in, and he said, when I flew in, he said, I was praying for you guys. I looked down, and he said, there's one spot in all of Dallas that the sun was shining through. And he said, I looked, and there's a blue and white tent there. And that was the only spot that was dry and the only spot that had sunshine. And they had just people get saved and all that. Andrew just said, Joe then ended up in his life later on, and it was a time period when I knew him, he just fell away from God. He just really got bitter towards God and fell away. And Andrew went and tried to restore him and spend time with him. And he said they went on a drive. And Andrew started telling him, reminding him about all the miracles that they'd seen. And they'd seen some really awesome miracles. And Joe finally just yelled, stop it! And Andrew said, what are you talking about? He says, stop it. He said, what's wrong? He says, I don't remember any of those things. And he said, I think the reason why Joe went off the rails. You and I have we can remember, and we need to go back and remember things that God did to us and for us, and it stirs us up and keeps it going. I have to admit, you would think some of the things I've seen and done in life, there's times I stop and think, oh, God, have you done any miracles in my life? And nothing comes to mind sometimes. And then we get to talking with people like on these trips. That's one thing we get to do. We start reminiscing about our trips and about our times together. And all of a sudden I go, man, I forgot about that miracle. I forgot about the guy that came, lady that came forward in Burma. She came forward for prayer in one of our meetings, and she said she needed healing. And I said, "Are you a believer?" And she said, "Yeah, I am." And then I saw her husband, and he was there. You know, they have little skirts; they don't have jeans. His knees were just like really big, skinny little guy. You know, he's like this, you know. And anyway, I can't remember what I prayed for her on, but she said she's a believer. And then I said, "Sir, are you a believer?" He says, "No, I'm Buddhist." I said, "You look like you're hurting, are you?" He says, "Yeah, my knees hurt really bad." He said, "I've done everything to Buddhists, you know, to try to get healed." I said, "Nothing's worked." And he said, "Nothing's worked. I've gone to the doctors." I said, "Nothing worked, nothing worked." I'm working through an interpreter, you understand. And I finally said, "Would you allow me to pray for your knees to be healed?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I'm just curious. If Jesus heals your knees, would you maybe be interested in getting saved?" He says, "Yeah." I put my hands on his knees and prayed, and he went to dancing. He went to running. He just took off. I'm sitting there going, "Whoa!" Came back and said, "Well, man, you couldn't do that before." He just looked at me like, "Are you stupid?" I couldn't even walk. I said, "Do you want to get saved?" He said, "I sure do. I want to know this Jesus." I had a friend of mine, he's another Mexican preacher, American, but anyway, he was telling me that he got in a place I think it was Brazil, and was ministering, and they weren't open to the Spirit of God and speaking in tongues and all that, they still invited him. And anyway, power of God started hitting that place, and things started happening. But anyway, he just said, "I just felt led. I walked over to a lady, and beautiful lady in a beautiful dress, red dress," he says. And I just, the pastor was up against the wall just stunned because all kinds of things were happening that he thought he didn't believe in. People were getting touched. People were just laying on the floor sometimes and just miracles, and people were laughing. And he walked over and he just grabbed this lady by the hand and just lifted her up. She stood up. And then he said, "I didn't know what I was doing. I was just obeying God. Or, you know, just not even hearing from God, just doing what he felt led to do." And he said, "We walked across the stage and over front and walked back." And he said that just the whole crowd started being just noise and stirring. So I didn't know what was going on, and then people started shouting. And finally he looked, he said, "What's going on?" And the lady says, "I came here in a wheelchair. Everybody knows I can't walk." Remember those things. And I think, I forget things. So I'll shut down here, but take some time and think back about when God saved you, delivered you, the good moments that you've had with people, the good moments you've had in life. My nephew's here today, Luke, Deb's son. I took Luke to Albania, and he shared in places, and he started sharing his testimony, and he just rattled the whole country. He just touched people. People were weeping and crying. But he just shared his testimony of saying, you know, I think he's about 16. Were you 16? About there. Had a conflict with his dad. Like, most of us 16-year-olds did. Got discouraged. Pulled his .22 revolver out, didn't play the rest of the lead, loaded it up, put it to his head, and he clicked the trigger. I'd never heard it. I'm there weeping. Hilaire's weeping. Everybody's weeping. And it misfired. It could have fired. It's very easy for him not to be here today. And all the other things that you and I have gone through. And we have friends that are gone. I have friends that it fired. They're gone. So I encourage you to just go back and take some time and think about all the good things God has done. And stir yourself up and get, it'll literally put a grace inside of you, a power inside of you that you can look up and look into the future with hope and anticipation instead of dread. And I don't know all your stories, and maybe the Holy Spirit's going to literally have to bring to your remembrance some things that you have forgotten. I haven't forgotten when your husband died, Tammy. I'm sure you haven't. That whole night is so vivid, like a video. He'd fallen. Alexis was on top of him. He wasn't breathing. He was turning purple. And Tammy called me, and I couldn't understand a word she was saying. He's not breathing. She just kept yelling, "He's not breathing." I said, "Who's not breathing?" I couldn't even understand her, and it was Rich. And Melissa and I jumped out of bed, got our clothes on, and headed to the house. The ambulance was there. Doctors were there. They hauled him to the hospital. We're in the emergency room, and they finally give up and said, "He's not going to make it. He's gone." I remember that. I remember going home. I remember you falling against the copier and just in a heap. I remember Cliff Cord and I just standing in that hospital room and I said, "We're going to be with you." She said, "Yeah, but you're not my husband." And I go, "Well, okay." That was a dumb thing to say. I remember going home and holding my wife in our bed and just saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to sleep. I don't know what to do. And the grace of God came. I want to take you to a memory that you all have, I believe. If not, you can start today. But it's the moment that you said, "Jesus, I believe in you." You may have a definite, really vivid time when you went to an altar and prayed. You may have that so embedded. I know Chuck, you ask him about when he got born again. He'll tell you the day, the time, the hour, and the moment, the words he spoke. It's awesome. But there's some of us that it's not that clear. I ended up getting saved so many times, I'm not sure what the first one was. But what I do know is I believed in my heart. Yours may be more dramatic than mine, but, man, there's people that can say, and they remember where the weight came off, the peace came in, they were freer, don't get out. But let me tell you what happened to all of us. And Audrey and Helen, if you want to come. Let me tell you what happened to all of us that said, "Jesus, I want you to be my Savior." There is a power of God that, in the name of Jesus, that can raise the dead, heal the sick, cause limbs to grow out, redeem people's lives from the pit of hell and from drugs and alcohol when they've been fighting for years. There's a power that can save people that have been fighting some health issue all their life. There's a power of God that can deliver you financially and set you as a multimillionaire within 24 hours. There are miracles and testimonies that people have of those things, and you got some of those things. But let me tell you something. The power that it takes to take you out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the family of Satan, and put you into the family of God, wash you clean, and make you a brand new creation. Paul said it's not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's not about any of those other things, being right, being wrong, being good, being bad. It's not any of that. It's being a new creation. And as dramatic as your salvation might have been, or as undramatic as it might have been, Lisa got saved at 4 years old by a minister using a monkey. But she became a new creation. Going from no hope of dying for eternity away from God to have being in his family and living with him forever, sharing the inheritance of everything. There is no greater power that's ever going to manifest in your life than the day you got born again. The power it took to get you out of darkness into light, to get you from death to life, to get you out of the family of Satan into the family of God. The power that it took to raising somebody from the dead is tiddlywinks compared to the power it took to have you be born again. Jesus had to literally come in as a human being and experience everything we did to become a man and walk as a man and die and be separated from his heavenly Father, from being with him from all eternity, and trust in the Holy Ghost to raise him up in order for you to be saved. There was no other option, no other way. You, if you have no good memories in your life at all, but you got born again, you have every reason just to sit there and say, my God, how great is thy name. And what can anybody do to me now? What can any, if I live the rest of my life broke, nobody loved me, boils all over my body, disease ripping me apart, people spitting on me. It's, thank God, it's okay, because I'm a child of God that will never die, and I'll never be separated from my Father, and nobody can take that away from me. And if you got nothing else to remember, and then remember that. And the more you think about that every day, the more your life will become extraordinary. And problems just will all of a sudden just fade out and say, man, it ain't that big a deal. So many people came up and said, I didn't hear till today that your church burned down. I'm so sorry. I want to just say, it's okay. It ain't that big a deal. Oh, it's a pain in the butt. Yeah. But, you know, so was changing my dad's diapers. It's just something we got to walk through. But don't feel sorry for me. I'm going to join here with Jesus.
Running after me. that's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
That soak in. Find some tall grass, lay in the sunshine, and think about it. Go back in your memory when you're a sweet little innocent girl or boy and say, man, my God loved me then and he loves me now. He doesn't see all the junk and all the mistakes I made. He just knows who I am, his child. And then when you get just saturated in that and it stirs your heart and your mind and you just feel cleansed like you took a good old shower, then go ahead and stand up and just say, to all the rest of my problems, take a hike. You're nothing. Building a church, nothing. Piece of cake. Having my heart healed of brokenness, piece of cake. Having the joy of the Lord be my life, getting up every morning facing all the problems and all the hassles of life, piece of cake. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. You can't touch me. And let's just go out there and rip up that plowed field and then get out of the cab and just dance for a while. Hallelujah. Until he calls us home. So be it. Am I all right with you? If we get a building, fine. If we don't, who cares? We look like the idiots of the town. Who cares? We know who we are, and we want more to join us. We are looking for those little boys that have turned into nasty men that want to get delivered and go back to innocence before God. And we'll hunt them down and search them for God and help them get there. And there's a big party waiting for us. We'll get there in time. Thank you, Father. We are grateful people forever. Amen. God bless you guys.